This is the Quality News Network. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wants a future independent Palestinian state to have its pre-1967 borders. He's calling for a complete Israeli withdrawal from the terrorist territories it captured 40 years ago. The demands come in preparation for a U.S.-hosted Middle East peace conference next month. Shelling continued today in an area of northwest Pakistan where battles between troops and militants have killed as many as 250 people. The last 5 days of the clashes in the north Waziristan region near the Afghan border have been the deadliest in more than 6 years. U.S.-led coalition and Afghan forces captured a major ammunition cache in the Zabul province of southern Afghanistan earlier this week. 100 RPGs and more than 150,000 rounds of machine gun ammunition were seized. The London Telegraph reports that the tables have turned in what was once Iraq's most dangerous province. Anbar locals are now identifying or turning in al-Qaeda operatives, pointing out hidden weapons caches, and cheering on U.S. troops. Congressional Democrats have decided to wait until early next year to fight to bring the troops home from Iraq. House Democrats say that they'll not debate the $190 billion the military says it needs to fund the war through September 2008 until January. A U.S. federal judge has blocked the U.S. military from sending a Guantanamo Bay detainee to Tunisia because of allegations he'd be tortured. Human rights groups are calling the ruling, quote, unprecedented, end quote. In her op-ed in today's Wall Street Journal, First Lady Laura Bush is calling on Myanmar's military junta to, quote, step aside, end quote. In a rare step into foreign policy, Mrs. Bush called General Thanh Chui and his deputies, quote, a friendless regime, end quote. China is being condemned by Reporters Without Borders for its internet controls. The organization says the Chinese censorship's an insult to online freedom of expression. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says he was misquoted when he recently said at Columbia University that there were no gays in Iran. He says that he meant that there were not as many homosexuals in Iran as there are in the United States. In Ohio, a 14-year-old opened fire on a Cleveland High School campus. He sent five people to the hospital before shooting and killing himself. Reports say that he was upset over being suspended. You're listening to QNN. More next.
Civility takes an effort. It requires that people remember that relationships need our attention. Whether we are talking about our most important personal relationships, how we get along with our colleagues, or the way we interact with strangers, it is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, we must be as courteous to a man as we are to a picture, which we are willing to give the advantage of a good light. This is the essence of civility. When we are civil to strangers, when we defer at the intersection instead of racing out ahead, when we hold the door for someone we don't know, when we smile at someone who catches our eye, we declare our choice for a civilized society. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Former Vice President Al Gore's Oscar-winning film An Inconvenient Truth must be accompanied by guidelines when it is to be shown in Britain's public schools. A landmark ruling today found for a school governor that cited 9 factual errors not supported by mainstream scientific consensus in the global warming movie. When shown, teachers must point out the controversial or disputed sections. Less than 7 hours after pulling its workers off the line, the UAW announced late this afternoon it had reached an agreement with Chrysler. All workers were notified to report to work on their next shift. Key provision shifts future health care benefits to the union. Alcoa reported a 3% rise in profits despite sagging revenue. The sale of the aluminum producer's stake in a Chinese aluminum company helped to boost their results. And Costco Wholesale reports that its fiscal fourth quarter profit from same-store sales rose 5%. The gain is significant, meaning its core customers have increased their spending. Wall Street was off on yesterday's record high close today because of what economists said were two reasons, a delay at Boeing in delivering its new Dreamliner and the short earnings estimate from Alcoa. At the close on Wall Street, the Dow lost 86, but was still over 14 at 14,078. The NASDAQ was up 8, S&P 500 dropped 3. Oil is trading at $81.30. That's up $1.04 a barrel. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And he's back. riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And we're back. Peter Godbold. The show is Strictly Confidential, the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively on the Head-On Radio Network. The telephone number is 877, the number 4-HEAD-ON, or you can use 304-658-3333. Before we get back into the medical, we have a special caller. This is the caller whose genius mind came up with the posting last night for the Strictly Confidential blog. We had a guest last evening, if you recall the guest. It was a very intense subject, and honestly, I was probably more nervous about it than the guest, that all of a sudden it's one of our news ninjas. Our dear news ninja, Gene, posted the blog, posted the story as being cross-dressing. It's not just for breakfast anymore. I needed that laugh before the show, and in fact, it helped me tremendously. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter. How's it going?
It's going fine for a Wednesday evening in Tallahassee. What can I tell you? It's dark, but it's not storming.
Well, I just have to say, before I get to my question, and because of the question, you'll finally realize just how "quote unquote special," I am.
okay.
I there's just a couple of questions I've got. And this is one. Oh God, I feel so slightly embarrassed because, well, actually, greatly embarrassed because I should know this, but I don't. A few weeks ago, I ran across a story that said it was the LGBTQ community. Peter.
Q.
What is that Q?
Oh, yes. LGBT and the Q, and sometimes it's listed as QQ, and it's very complicated, and at first I had to do a double take on it, too. Okay, LGBT, we all know, Q is for queer, and if it's okay. Two Qs, it means or queer questioning. And I am, there are some people who are more comfortable describing themselves as being queer as opposed to being GLBT. Now, I read a story on that, and I sort of followed the way in the back of my mind that would be an interesting guest to have on it. It was a woman who wrote this particular article. And it's one of the reasons I was saying to Bill Browning the other evening when we had Bill Browning on, we need a word. We so need a word. It's getting so complicated.
Because I've seen this, like, okay, I know it's queer, but why is it there? Don't the other four letters kind of cover, you know, everything? But yeah, I don't know. I might have missed something, so I thought I'd ask.
Well, I kind of thought the same thing, and it seems to me, and I can't be 100% certain about this, but it seems to me that the Q is more popular with the younger folks. I noticed when we had our guests from, we run their promos. I'm sorry, I can't call up
Fierce.
The top of my head. Yes, thank you so much, Fierce. I kept thinking of they talked about the pier and everything in New York, but I kept thinking pier, but it's Fierce. That their site lists the Q and the QQ often. So I think it's a younger people thing.
Speaking of Fierce, I wanted to know, and you probably got the story too. Didn't you have a Khadija Farmer on as a guest from there?
What was her name? Lord, I don't remember her name without going back to the calendar, but she was a remarkable guest, and she stayed with us an awfully long time, told us all the things about the pier and you know, what was happening about the people throwing things out the windows and hitting folks while they're trying to go. But I can tell you the name, though. All I have to do is remember the month. Let's see. I think that was in June, and no, must have been July, and I will have her name in just a second. The magic of click. You know, when you get to be my age, let's see, Courtney Reed.
We always.
Here, Glow. Her name was Glow. It's an unusual name.
Oh,
she spelled Glow, G-L-O, and her last name is Ross.
Okay, I'm sorry, because I saw this. I'm assuming you probably got this story about the... It kind of ties into your medical elderly thing, at least part of that, about the... of one Miss Khadija Farmer that apparently during the Gay Pride Parade back in June 24th in Greenwich Village.
Yes, I don't know this story.
Well, apparently a bouncer went into a ladies' restroom and knocked on the door and threw Miss Farmer out because he thought she was a man. She's guilty of peeing while butch is how the
oh, that's the, priceless, Gene. That so sums it up. That really nails it on the head. She was peeing while butch, not allowed.
And so there's been, she's engaged the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund to in this case, and I don't remember. I'll send you the link or email to you, but I found that very, very interesting because, you know, shoot,
it does tie into things we've been talking about, absolutely. We kind of got it. At the beginning of the show, I was talking about, that's right. The woman was trying to check in the nursing home, and the woman screamed, "Get that man out of here!" I remember now.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and send you that link, but I just had to ask that because I remember, for some reason, Khadija Farmer sounds familiar to me, and I thought it was funny to guess. So I'll send you the link, and I appreciate you answering my question. It was driving me crazy for 3 weeks, and I was too embarrassed to call and ask.
Well, Gene, if you can't ask it here, you can't ask it anywhere. That's for damn sure.
I appreciate hanging out with the sexual outlaws, I think is the term you use, because, God, I just heard a couple of you guys.
I like it much better than LGBTQRSTUVW, and I just think we ought to just be sexual outlaws and be done with it.
And one last thing, and I know it's not really related to the show, but I see where there are no purity balls for men, or for boys and mothers.
You are so right there. It seems to me that purity is much less of an issue. It's okay to chase, apparently, but not okay to be caught, I think, is the way that works. I've often wondered the same thing.
I'll send those two on with you, and I'll let you get back to your show.
Thank you for calling, Gene. It's so nice to hear from you, and thank you for that post last night. Cross-dressing, it's not just for breakfast anymore. I honestly did get a laugh out of that, and so did the guest. The guest had seen it, too. Thank you. And that was our friend Gene, one of our news ninjas. And the news ninjas help us tremendously here on the network. They help us find news articles and send us links throughout the day and keep the blog at the Head On Radio Network site up to date regarding what shows are going to be on and what the content is and if there's a guest, things that we just couldn't possibly keep up with. They are truly the wind beneath our wings in many ways. You are not family. I cannot give you any information, and you cannot go into the ICU. Well, those are words you don't want to hear after you've found that a loved one's been rushed to the hospital, an ambulance, or you have rushed a loved one to the emergency room. Those words are, in fact, though, a fact of life for many GLBT transgendered people in the United States. Couples that have been together for decades, doesn't matter. Raising children together doesn't matter. Maintaining homes. They've merged their lives in every way that families do, but they are treated as complete and total strangers at the time of crisis. Hospitals could go a long way to remedying this. In fact, some have. You know, you've seen the hospital posters. The hospitals even advertise, and you'll see the posters in the lobby. it's always publicizing their commitment to serving a diverse community, and you'll always see an Indian or a black person and a white person, and some are old and some are babies, and they're all smiling and about, you know, the care and the outreach of the hospital. But the GLBT folks are not in that picture. Not that I'm advocating that there be a picture of a drag queen or a lesbian biker wearing a motorcycle helmet. I'm not, or the village people. I'm not suggesting that at all. But simple things. How about like inclusive language on the hospital forms? You know, GLBT people have become sensitized. You know, we go in a place, the first thing we do is look for clues. The clues are, is this a safe place? Hospitals could do so many things. They could put out like a pamphlets from the local AIDS Foundation. Put a note about, you know, some sort of, just even an equal sign or a pink triangle or something, some code to let the GLBT people know that, yes, they too are part of that diversity. And the intake forms, the intake forms, they don't fit any of us. Intake forms are important. They define the family. They define the relationships outside the family. They define who the hospital can give information to. And if intake forms only say married, single, or divorced, you know, if that's your only option to relationship status, that's an obstacle. I mean, unless you live in Massachusetts, you could be married, single, or divorced. And how about transgendered people? How do they fill out sex? Male, female? How do you identify yourself as what your current gender is? If your current gender differs from your birth certificate, how do you define that? There are so many little things, and there are tragic cases. There are cases that reported and confirmed cases that paramedics have stopped treating patients when they realized that the patient was transgendered. Transgendered folks have huge healthcare issues to deal with the medical industry. But you know, if we could just get the, just by putting a simple equal sign or a little brochure in the waiting room or a more welcoming admission slip, you know, if you're inside an emergency situation, all those things would go so far into letting a GLBT person focus more on getting well than focusing on, you know, is my partner down there in the lobby and they won't let him in. You know, these energies need to be dedicated toward healing. You know, we often scan the, you know, any non-discrimination statement, a magazine from HIV Positive magazine or some gay health magazine, newsletters, information about the GLBT community resources, a rainbow, anything, be a huge help. You know, oftentimes it's that the LGBT community puts off care because they don't want people getting into their lives, and they don't feel like they're included. And getting back to the aging thing just briefly, you know, the statistic is that 80% of all the long-term caregivers are family. And as I said earlier, you know, a large number of us don't have family in the traditional sense of the word, so there's going to be a shock coming up in the aging community. And regarding regular health care, this is a little note from Nancy and Joan from Madison, Tennessee. We've been together for 18 years. Our 10th anniversary, we decided it was past time to get as much paperwork done as was available. A health care power of attorney, living wills, regular wills, you know, this regular stuff. About 2 years after that, one of us ended up in the hospital, and the other one had to carry papers around and was asked to show them each night to regain the permission to stay. with me in the hospital. So on our 15th anniversary, we decided to combine our last names, and we went through the whole process of standing in front of a judge, standing in line at the Social Security office, getting new cards. We went through the process of our jobs. The odd way to celebrate a 15th anniversary. She notes that just recently, though, one of us had to go to the hospital for a couple of days, and having the same last name helped tremendously. Although they thought she was my sister. Bill Flanagan had to rush his partner Robert to the emergency room while on vacation in Baltimore. Bill was not allowed to see Robert or get any information on his condition because he was, quote, not family. Now, even though this couple had a durable power of attorney and they were registered as domestic partners in California, they were kept apart for 4 hours. And only when Robert's sister and mother arrived did Bill get to see his partner. By this time, Robert was no longer conscious. His eyes were taped shut. There was a breathing tube that had been inserted, which was contrary, by the way, to the prior understanding that the couple had about life support. The two men never had a chance to say goodbye. Robert died shortly after his partner was allowed to see him and never regained consciousness, although he was conscious when he was admitted, but he was denied entrance. His partner was denied entrance. From Janice in Olympia, Washington, in February, when our family was visiting Miami, my partner, Lisa Marie, died from a brain aneurysm. The kids and I waited and we waited, and we waited in the emergency room for word about Lisa. And finally someone appeared, and I was told that I was in, quote, you're in an anti-gay city, and you're in an anti-gay state, and you're going to have a health care proxy before I allow you to see your partner, even though you've been together 18 years. All right, and I won't tell you what her condition is. I won't do anything. So she called their closest friends back in Olympia, Washington, who went to their home and found the legal documents and faxed them to the hospital in Miami, and that took 3 hours. And in those 3 hours, she was desperate for information about Lisa. She paced back and forth, all the time watching the other families being escorted back and forth into the trauma center to visit their loved ones. Yet my family and the children waited with no word about Lisa's condition. When I was finally allowed to see Lisa, it was with a priest to perform her last rites. From Juanita, in March, I was given a diagnosis of macular degeneration and cataracts, both of which required surgeries. During this time, I was forced to face surgery alone because the hospital refused to allow my partner, Rocky, to be with me because we were not married and we were not related. Juanita writes that as time goes by, she's very worried because this macular degeneration will get worse, and eventually she will be blind and she'll become more and more dependent on a person that has no legal right to be with me. From the Bakersfield, California, March 7, 2007, Donna Jones and Sherilyn Takata rushed their daughter to the emergency room in Bakersfield, California, with 104-degree temperature. And at the door, the security guard insisted that only the, quote, real, end quote, mother could accompany the child to see the attending physician. Now, even though Jones and Takata were registered as domestic partners, and they were both the daughter's legal parents, the security guard refused to let her partner go through. There are more stories like that. Some of them brought tears to my eyes when I read them. These are things we'll discuss when we have some of our medical guests on. How do people get there? How do people? You know, I have to give Pam credit. Pam for Pam's House Blend. She went in and looked up the Freepers had to say about the New York Times article. A couple of comments from the Freepers. People with strong families and strong beliefs in Christ don't jump to suicide if someone calls them a name. But the gay lifestyle has none of that. And those of you who listen to this program regularly know what an awful distortion that is. Another comment. Obviously, there's no such thing as a gay Christian. I mean, what's next? Alcoholic Christians? Well, yes. Gambling Christians? Well, yeah, yeah. Next, you can tell me, you're going to try to tell me that thieves can be Christians too. Well, I believe it was Jesus who looked from the cross at the man hanging next to him who was a thief and told him that today you will walk with me in paradise. Yes, yes, and thieves too. There is one interesting comment here. This person says, I'm a radical right-winger, and I am about a lot of things, but I have a lesbian sister. I'm one of six children. I am amazed at her life. She has been in a monogamous relationship for over 20 years. They've adopted two boys. One of them is what you'd call a serious risk baby, abandoned, born into a drug addict, major fetal problems. And to see those boys grow up so well and see them blossom under love and guidance and to see them raised from such a dangerous beginning, I have to tell you, I've become much more tolerant of folks' sexual identities. My sister is great, even heroic, as a mom, even if she is a homosexual. This is why it's so important to come out, people. They will never know us from the television show. They'll never know us even from listening to me on the radio. You gotta be blood kin or they freaking don't get it. Example, the next poster, referring to the person's sister who was even heroic, even though she's a homosexual. She is a very rare exception to the homosexual lifestyle. And we will always be rare exceptions to the homosexual lifestyle until family. Do you remember the mayor of San Francisco who was refusing to get on board with gay marriage until he tearfully, we played the audio, he tearfully choked up, explaining that his daughter was a lesbian and that he couldn't deny her and her relationship, that it would have any less validity than he and his wife. It's got to be family, people. Has to be family. So where do these people get off? Where do these people get off picking up these attitudes about medical situations with GLBT folks? Where do they get off picking up these attitudes? Well, I have a little audio clip that we're going to run from Rush Limbaugh. This is where they get these attitudes. Rush was discussing just a couple of days ago, October 5, an article about medical and psychological outcomes of sexual reassignment surgery. Well, you can imagine the things he had to say. It underscores why it's so important to have the Employment Non-Discrimination Act with people like Limbaugh putting out. And this reinforces the whole people of no value, people as a joke attitude that is so prevalent. And in fact, in this audio, it only runs a couple of minutes. And in fact, he brings it up just before the break, then goes into break. The break is like a Viagra commercial. I'm not going to make you listen to a Viagra commercial and Rush Limbaugh. That's cruel and unusual punishment. The Viagra commercial is lifted out, but you will hear when the break occurs, you will know that he went to break. But it's a wake-up call for why gay and transgendered Americans need equal protection of our nation's laws. Let's just run this clip from Rush Limbaugh. I believe it's just labeled Rush Limbaugh.
We have affectionately named a female-to-male sex change operation the Adidectomy. And we have news about adidectomies today. All right, welcome back. Rush Limbaugh, talent on loan from God. Now, I realize that many of you are just hanging out there. It's a bad choice of words. Some of you, well, it fits. Some of you people hanging out there, just the edge of your chairs, waiting to hear the latest news on the adidectomy. Research that has been done. I want to do this before we get back to our audio sound bites with Mrs. Clinton. most people, this is Reuters Health, ladies and gentlemen, most people who undergo male-to-female sex change surgeries are satisfied. This we call the choppadichotomy, by the way. Most people who undergo the chopotygophomy are satisfied with the results. This according to a follow-up study of patients treated at one of the UK practice over a 10-year period. Dr. Jonathan C. Goddard and colleagues, University Hospitals of Leicester, reviewed the cases of 222 individuals who had undergone the procedure, known medically as feminizing genitoplasty. But that's such a long word, it's so confusing, we have come up with our own terminology for this. After the first outpatient visit after the surgery, 88% said they were happy when they became babes. 7% said they were unhappy. Now, among patients who had undergone the adidectomy procedure, they said that it's too sensitive, and they needed to have the surgery again because it was just uncomfortable. It was much, much less satisfying to go the adidectomy route. So if you're thinking about it, I just wanted to make sure. Well, with an expanded audience, I don't know what the doctor. I don't know the details. All I know is the results. We don't have the questions, Mr. Snuggly, that the patients were asked. All we know is what they told the doctor.
With talent on loan from God, disgust me. After hearing from some of our transgendered folks, that truly disgusts me. I get it now. You see, I get it now. I understand now. And these fools, these pompous asses, who have no concept of what it's like to even be a regular human being, to care. These fools get away with that every day of the week. And as Bob was talking about earlier, the right-wing hags, the female hags, the female hacks, are all fighting for airspace as they become less and less credible after all this. You know, so they're fighting to outbeat more outrageous, one more outrageous than the other. Amazing stuff. And I'm going to mention one last thing, and then we have a surprise. Surprise! And this is a result of, and you know, Rush Limbaugh's in South Florida, the mayors in South Florida, the Fort Lauderdale mayor that we've talked about endlessly. Well, we're finally seeing the effects of all of this anti-gay positioning. We're finally, it's becoming more okay for the knuckle draggers to, they're not waiting for night and stealth anymore to kill us. Well, this happened in the evening, but when you hear this story, fellow works in, it was a town called Wilton Manors. It is part of Fort Lauderdale. Literally, Fort Lauderdale does not end. It's one huge city. Okay, you all know how that works. So Wilton Manors is part of Fort Lauderdale. So it was shortly after 10 p.m., and he was crossing. His name is Davis. He was crossing Northeast 4th Avenue to return to work, which is a gay bar. He is a bartender. He was walking across the street with his friend Marcus. Okay. So they got about halfway into the right-hand lane. Davis and the friend that was with them, they heard a car engine rev up to a high RPM. This was all of a sudden. And they looked, and there was an oncoming car which had tremendously accelerated. They ran, got to the sidewalk, and the car swerved onto the sidewalk and did a hit-and-run to the bartender, lifted him into the air, and threw him out into the dirt out next to this bar. The driver then re-entered the traffic and kept going. Coincidence? I don't think so. Permission from the leadership? Yeah, I'd say so. This is the result. This is the result. It disgusts me. Speaking of things that do not disgust me, we have a huge surprise. This surprise, it's from John Fox, who is our engineer and also an incredibly talented musician. And it is also from Bob Kincaid, who is also an incredibly talented man, who I understand wrote some of the lyrics, or all of the lyrics, I don't fully know. But we have a brand new song on tonight, and I'm going to ask Bob to come on and introduce it with me, because I don't know exactly how to introduce it, but this is just out of the factory. Bob, can you join us?
Oh, Peter, the wax is still hot on the disc.
This is my fantasy.
You know the story as well as I do, and of course it was featured over at Pam's House Blend.
Yes.
A fine, upstanding, righteous, right-wing, holier-than-thou, graduate of Liberty University, bosom buddy of Jerry Falwell, was found dead last June, June 2007, June 27th, I think, in his own home. He was wearing two rubber wetsuits.
This is the part that amazes me. This is like the swimsuit edition.
Yeah. There's no toilet involved that we know of.
Oh, darn. Okay.
He was wearing a rubber bondage face mask that had holes for the eyes and the mouth only. And when the coroner got down to the... he had on a pair of black latex panties, and the coroner noted the presence in his posterior of a dildo that was sheathed in a condom.
Bob, I've heard a lot in my day, and I thought I'd had it all. Not had it. I certainly haven't had that. But I meant to say...
Now, this is a straight guy, a defender of marriage.
Right.
He was, as we say here in the hills, Peter, hog-tied.
This is an amazing story.
His hands and feet were bound. They were bound behind him and trussed together. And he had various belts and straps on other, around his waist, that kind of thing. And the cause of death, the fundamentalists on the Liberty University website, it was murder. The coroner said it was death by autoerotic asphyxiation.
Well, Bob, we were talking about this in the chat room earlier. We don't understand how he could have tied himself that way alone.
Some can, depending on, what kind of knots you use or what kind of... because the autopsy report mentions nylon bindings and such. If you think about those old bungee cords that had the hooks on either end... I'm speculating. He could have been having fun, and whoever he was having fun with kind of bugged when he shuffled off this mortal coil and went to... I was going to say St. Peter, but I don't want to do that to you.
Valhalla. We were trying to imagine his compatriot there. We figured he had a hired gun.
So sometimes I see this kind of stuff, Peter, and something happens in my sick and twisted little brain. And I saw where he was from, Montgomery, Alabama. And, of course, just last week we were talking about the fact that the Supreme Court rejected the appeal of the sex toy ban in Alabama.
Yes, this is more hilarity on the way to the... That's amazing.
And trying to understand how my poor little brain works is really, there's lots of cobwebs and scary, spidery places. But I'm a big John Prine fan, and I saw the word Montgomery. And I was reminded of his wonderful, touching, poignant song, Angel from Montgomery. And the lyric came pouring out of me as though I had been struck in the spirit, and it just happened.
So we could safely say that this work, this brand new hot, still hot off the wax is still hot. It's an inspired work.
It is indeed, Peter. And it is, I just wrote the lyrics. John Fox made the magic. And he did it awfully quickly, too, because I told him this morning, which is about, 2 in the morning for him, that I had this happening inside my head, and he made it happen before your show could end.
That's amazing. Now, does John sing this?
Yes.
Oh, this is amazing.
This is John John playing and singing, lyrics by Bob, music by John Prine.
And it's mixed. I'm a big one for who mixed it. It's mixed by John.
Yes. Oh, produced by John. Engineered by John.
Well, no song is complete until we know who mixed it, at least on this show.
Well, I'm thinking maybe we can get this up to Vicky,
VJC, you know, for I don't know, play on the radio show there. We'll have to just share this all over creation.
Amen, that brother.
And I think we have to send it to Pam Spaulding, since she's kind of the one who broke it.
She'd love it. She would love it. And also to Trans FM, I bet they'd like it.
Oh, too. I bet so, too. You know, that's about all there is to it. If folks know John Prine's Angel from Montgomery, they'll recognize the song.
Well, I'm all ears.
I've never heard it before. Are you ready?
I am absolutely ready.
All right, let's close the microphones. And ladies and gentlemen, John Fox.
I'm a good Christian, got a good congregation. My wife's on vacation, and the kids are all grown. I've got me some swimsuits, rubber's my desire. Got a head mask of latex that makes me just moan. Send me a dildo, I can't buy one in Montgomery. Send me a sex toy, but the deacons can't know. Just give me one ear hole that I can breathe in through. Hog tie me with bungees, fix them just so.
Absolutely fabulous. I am stunned. Bob, that was amazing. The lyrics, the music, all of it. Just amazing. John, way to go, kiddo. That That was astounding, and it was professional.
Peter, I'm sorry to bust in, but I'm just destroyed. I mean, no. I mean, those little words. I mean, that was just like a little. It was like a little frenzy that I have every now and then. John turned it into art.
Oh, he did. It was truly magical, and in John's fashion, it was absolutely professional. It's absolutely professional. It's perfect, even to the down to the reverb, the tonality. It's fabulous.
I'll go away and tingle by myself now.
Okay, go tingle by yourself. I will tingle here. John, congratulations. That is an amazing piece of work. For that to all come together in one day is typical of the head-on radio network style of just getting out there and doing it. I happen to have Pam's email address, the one that's not MySpace related. Others may have it, but I can send it to her, so I'm sure she gets it. And we'll have to get this out to the gang, because this is much, much too hot, if you'll excuse the phrase, to sit on. Lord have mercy. And speaking of the condom is an accessory that was placed over the accessory that I don't think any of us fully understand. I really don't understand. Unless he was trying to do it, he didn't want to get pregnant. I'm just trying to figure it out. Or he didn't want any stains on his toy. And I've been wondering since the beginning what color it was. And since nobody has said, I'm assuming it's black, which is in the South another huge scandal. So, and even if it wasn't black, we're going to say it was. Oh, Lord. It just never ceases to amaze me. One story after the next, they are falling like flies. It's like the end times for the fundies. It's welcome to the end times. That's what hypocrisy will do for you. And speaking of the Mozambican Archbishop, Bishop Francisco Shimomo, which we were not, he has something to say about prophylactics. He is announcing it to all of the Catholics who are part of his diocese or group, however the Catholics do it. And in Africa, he is indicating to them that condoms are not reliable, because he knows that there are two countries in Europe that are making condoms with the HIV virus on purpose. He is telling his followers that these two European countries want to finish the African-American people. He is telling them that this program will enable them to colonize Africa, that's what the goal is, to wipe out the Africans with condoms that are coated with HIV so that they can colonize Africa. So just so that you fully understand this, Europeans are putting HIV on condoms to colonize Africa. Just thought you'd like to know. And I'll tell you what, there was a... I'll tell you about this tomorrow night. I'll tell you what I want to do. See if there's time. 48. Yeah, I think there's time. Yeah, and there's probably enough time if it's 48 for me to... I'll try to do this quickly. Someone sent me... We played a track, Electric Dreams track. It was a Hot Tracks remix a couple of weeks ago. Giorgio Moroder, wonderful remix, Hot Tracks. It's been out for a good little while. And someone sent me an email saying they wanted to hear it again. Now, normally, you know, if someone wants to hear something again, I'll just point them to the archive and say, you know, it's in the archive. But it just so happens that just last week, our friend Glenn Rivera released a new remix of Electric Dreams. So I thought to myself, no, isn't this interesting? There's a request for it a second time by another listener. And there's a brand new Hot Off the Press. This is a great night for brand new Hot Off the Press. Now, Glenn's is a week old, so the wax is not hot and steaming like John's was. But nonetheless, say I'll go ahead and run this because, it's just a very interesting remix. It's fabulous, as we expect from Glenn. It is the Glenn Rivera restructured remix of Giorgio Moroder with Electric Dream. and there's not quite enough time to run that entire track. That is, you know, it's just amazing how that music continues to be remixed and used years and years later, and it's always a fresh sound to it. And thank you, Glenn, for sending that. I have a little announcement to make. I am told that I need to wish On the Road a happy anniversary. And I'm afraid I have no more details than that, but, you know, inquiring minds want to know. So On the Road is one of our chatters, in case you're wondering. And you can meet her and all of the other fabulous people in the chat room by simply stopping by strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and you'll see a click there for joining the chat room. It's easy. You just choose a chat name, and it's Java-based. It's simple to use. And you'll find some of the smartest and wittiest people on the entire planet in that chat room. Thank you for joining me, too, on Strictly Confidential. You are all a treasure to me, and it is a great privilege to be with you in the evenings to talk about things that you're not supposed to talk about. We break every taboo, and we cross every line every night, and we do it on purpose, and we're not going to stop. Please join us tomorrow evening. Our guests will be the fabulous and irreplaceable Tom Moulton, and he will be co-guest with Ernest Cole, who is an international recording star. We'll have a great time finding out things that we never even knew to ask. Looking forward to it. And so we're wrapping up for the evening. Thanks again for being here. And in closing, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...
for the Democrats, and my guest is Mike Lane. He's the president of Intelligence Strategies. It's his job to give intelligence to the elephants, which would be the Republicans. There's a lot of things to talk about this week, and as always, we would encourage you to bring up any topic you want to mention right here on the Inside Scoop. The number is on your screen. But the five topics on my mind are the following: Al Gore winning the Nobel Prize for peace for his work in combating global warming, the torture memo that the New York Times uncovered just this week, discovering that at the same time that Bush said we're not torturing anyone, he, or at least his administration, was putting forth memos to do just that. There's Larry Craig, the sex scandal Idaho senator, who's decided to stay in the Senate. And it's interesting because Democrats aren't complaining. Republicans are. There is Barack Obama and the flack in some right-wing quarters over the fact that he won't wear a flag, an American flag, very often on his lapel. Finally, there is former retired General Sanchez, who has called the Iraq War a nightmare. Lots of different topics to discuss, Mike. Let us start with Al Gore, because I want to congratulate our former vice president, the man that Americans elected in 2000 to be president, and talk about the fact that Gore has really been a man of peace, someone who's really strived to help the globe in bringing to our attention global warming. while the candidate that lost the election in 2000, of course, is now known as a man of war, George Bush. I frankly wish, as you've heard me say before, I wish Al Gore would run for president because I think he's the best qualified, and I'd love to see him run. No disrespect to Hillary, but I would vote for Al Gore over Hillary. And I just think this is a moment for him to bask in the sun.
I don't think it's time to count Al Gore out yet.
I hope not. As a Democrat, I'd love to see him run.
You know, the scenario for Al Gore to run was that the Democratic nomination process would still be rather unsettled at this point, and he would be able to come in at this particular point in time, late in the game, the way Fred Thompson tried to do on the Republican side, and be able to capture it and run away with it. Now, unfortunately for him, that scenario is a little bit off kilter.
We seem to have an heir apparent.
Because, you know, it's not as unsettled as perhaps it might be. Hillary seems to be doing much better than anybody would have thought that she would have solidified the lead at this point. But let's get back to what Al Gore has been doing. First, I'll congratulate him on winning the prize. True confessions or a full disclosure here, the prize actually went to two people. It was the UN Working Group on Global Climate Change.